Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
There is a man in the Bible who witnessed one of the most dramatic events in all of human history. This man was an eyewitness to the death of Jesus Christ. He was not a disciple of Jesus, yet he may have become one. Do you know who this man is? Well, I'm talking about the centurion who was in charge of guarding the body of Jesus at his crucifixion. He is mentioned in three of the accounts of the crucifixion of Christ, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When he and others with him saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, it says, I quote, "They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God." Matthew 27, verse 54. Luke 23:47 says, "So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man." The centurion had no doubt beheld the darkness over the land from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock p.m. He had probably felt the earth tremble beneath his feet. He had seen Jesus die. He heard the words of Jesus as he entrusted his spirit unto the Father. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Luke 23:46. Having said this, Jesus breathed his last. The centurion evidently observed the calm resolve with which Jesus approached death. All that he saw caused him to speak as he did. You see, what happened at the crucifixion of Christ has tremendous power. It is something that can move a man. The centurion is convinced that he witnessed not only the crucifixion of a righteous man, but that this man is the Son of God. Now, we don't know what happened to this soldier. He is not mentioned again. We only know that as he stood at the cross, he saw the Son of God die. You know, when I look at the cross, do I see what the centurion saw? I suggest to you that from our perspective, we can see much more. What do we see when we survey the wondrous cross? Well, that is what I want to talk about on our program today, and we're glad that you're with us. You know, when we observe the crucifixion of Jesus, we see, first of all, the power of God. The crucifixion of Christ was accompanied by supernatural acts of God. The purpose of miracles was to cause men to know that God acted. Well, consider some of the supernatural acts of God at the crucifixion. There were 3 hours of darkness associated with the crucifixion. Luke 23, verses 44 and 45 says, "And it was now about the 6th hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the 9th hour, the sun being obscured." Well, the 6th hour is 12 o'clock noon. And so from noon to 3 o'clock p.m., the sun did not shine, and there was darkness over the whole land. And also, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I have read that the veil was made of very heavy fabric that may have been up to 3 inches thick. Not only could man not have torn it, it was torn from the top. You see, God did this. And how do you think the priest in the temple who observed this event would have been affected? Also, the earth quaked and the rocks were split, it says in Matthew 27, verse 51. Imagine the effect this would have had on the centurion and the other soldiers there at the cross. It must have produced fear in their hearts. Well, this was just one more sign of God's working in conjunction with Christ's death. Well, could this that happened be attributed to coincidence? No logical thinking person would say so. Some of these things, if not all of them, caused the centurion to speak as he did. Truly, this was the Son of God. And also, when we observe the crucifixion of Jesus, we see the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Now, the centurion at the time of the crucifixion probably did not understand this event to be the fulfillment of prophecy. But we can see this very clearly. The Old Testament was written and completed hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. The Old Testament contains hundreds of prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled every one of them. Several of the prophecies foretell of the crucifixion and the events that took place at that time. First of all, it was foretold that his hands and his feet would be pierced, Psalm 22, verse 16. Well, we know in a crucifixion, one's hands and feet are pierced. It was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born that he would be numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah 53, verse 12. Well, Mark records that when Jesus was crucified, that with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Mark 15, verses 27 and 28. At Jesus' crucifixion, the soldiers divided Jesus' garments, and each soldier took a part. Concerning his tunic, since it was without seam in one piece, they cast lots for it. Well, that was prophesied by David in Psalm 22, verse 18. Matthew records, "Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." It's Matthew 27, verse 35. It was prophesied that his bones would not be broken, Psalm 34, verse 20, and also that he would be pierced, Zechariah 12, verse 10. John records concerning the crucifixion of Jesus, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." John 19, verses 33 through 37. You see, the crucifixion of Jesus was no accident. God was not taken by surprise. It was a part of God's plan to save man from their sins. It was foretold by the prophets hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Peter told the Jews, "Him," that is Jesus, "being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Acts 2 and verse 23. Well, the centurion concluded that Jesus was the Son of God by witnessing Jesus' death. We were not witnesses of that event, and yet we draw the same conclusion. The fulfilled prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures force us to that same conclusion. And also, when we see the crucifixion of Jesus, we see the end of the law of Moses. The covenant that God made with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai and the law of that covenant came to an end. The means by which that covenant and its law came to an end was the death of Christ. Paul said in Colossians 2 and verse 14, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Now, the handwriting of requirements in this verse is talking about the law of Moses. Paul says here, it was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. Jesus' death on the cross brought an end to that law. Christ's blood that was shed at his death dedicated a new covenant with a new law. When Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, he took the cup, the fruit of the vine, and he said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26, verse 28. So Jesus' blood that was shed at his death dedicated a new covenant. Now that we're under a new covenant, the covenant that God made with the children of Israel became old and it vanished away. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 8 and verse 13, "In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." And that is what happened to the old covenant. It vanished away. Now that we're under a new covenant, we're under a new law, the law of Christ. Hebrews 7 and verse 12 says there was a change of the law. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 21 that he was not without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. You see, when the law of Moses was taken out of the way, that does not mean we're without any law. Now, we're not under the law of Moses, but we're under the law of Christ given in the New Testament. Therefore, we do not go to the Old Testament to find God's will for Christians today. That is the reason that we do not offer animal sacrifices or burn incense in our worship to God. Those practices were a part of a covenant that we are not under. When we see the crucifixion of Jesus, we see the end of the law of Moses and the beginning of a new covenant and a new law, the law of Christ. But also, when we see the crucifixion of Jesus, we see a sacrifice for sin. We must not fail to comprehend who the man was who died on the cross. John says that he was in the beginning with God and was God. He made all things. John 1 verses 1 through 4. John says that this one became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1 verse 14. John the Baptist said, He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1 verse 29. You see, Jesus partook of flesh and blood to be a sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. On the cross, Jesus was offering Himself as a sacrifice for sin. Read Hebrews 9 verses 24 through 28. What an amazing thing that the sacrifice that Jesus made was made even for the centurion who participated in His death. And that sacrifice was made for you and for me. The Apostle Paul said, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. And also, when we see the crucifixion of Jesus, we see the greatest expression of love. Yes, Jesus' death is a scene filled with anger, hate, and murder on the part of those who killed Him. But we also see the greatest expression of love on the part of Him who died. It was because of Jesus' love for us that He died for us. Ephesians 5 and verse 2 says, And walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We see Jesus' love in His words while on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus is dying for the very ones who are killing Him. There is no greater love than this. Yes, after observing the things that took place at the crucifixion of Jesus, the centurion was compelled to say, Truly, this was the Son of God, and certainly, this was a righteous man. The evidence was overwhelming of who this man was on the cross. Now, we did not see Jesus on the cross, but I suggest that from our perspective, we see much more than what the centurion saw. Yes, we see that Jesus is the Son of God, a righteous man who died. We see the power of God at the crucifixion. We see that Jesus fulfilled prophecy. But we also see the end of the law of Moses and the bringing in of the law of Christ. And we see Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins. We see the greatest expression of love. How can we help but to be thankful? How can we resist loving such a Savior? How can we not be loyal to Him? Why not give your life to Jesus today? Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. But before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. Again, thank you for listening, and join us next week for Bible Talk.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.